Yo, 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 yo. So you already know what it is. Let's make history. Episode 7. Man, it's a blessing to still be here and be in the building, man. You already know what it is. The usual suspects. L, a.k.a. Old Man L.
Yo, yo, yo.
Fresh. The instigator.
Troublemaker.
Charm in the building.
Yo, what up?
You know what I mean? And I go by the experience. Hey, man. Hey, fellas, let's make history.
Let's do it.
You know what I mean?
Sir.
Let's make history. Okay. We're going to go ahead and get into this one. We're going to do best hip-hop and R&B groups of all time. Well, no, we're going to go back from the 80s. When we say best, also most influential.
And are we? When are we cutting the date off? Are we saying 80s until 2021?
Up until now. I mean, but yeah, like 19, you said, up until now, really, it's not.
1980 to right now, brother. Yeah.
It's not a whole lot of influential
lot of years,
as far
y'all.
As right now, yeah. You know, that we could say, like, best. That, and especially from a influential standpoint, you know, mm-hmm. as far as now.
It's not true.
This is what the, from this, right
this is
now.
What the, this is what the bad guy's here for,
you
because
know what I'm
the bad guy's
he's
here to remind.
Already.
The bad guy's here to remind all the old people. See, because when you have an old person around other old people, right, this is what's good about walking through the era. Because certain old people, you can look at them and be like, see, they just be nitpicking and shit, right?
Right.
Then you got people like me to like, okay, it's true.
Now, right.
Some of the shit that y'all saying is true because I walked through it. But we forget that we lived through also when people were calling things best and great and using that in that same language in the same real time as us growing up. Mm-hmm. You know, there was words of using greats and these are top. We had to use some kind of criteria always.
Right.
I mean, if you're only going to use your personal opinion, that's cool. I understand that. Right. But usually you have some kind of parameter that says, they also said it. They said it,
right.
Which for us was Five Mics, Source.
Right.
And these people were also, when these people were young, were saying this was a classic while they were young. Now, what the Source did also do, they did go back sometimes to stuff that came out prior to the magazine coming out and saying, hey, this was also something such. But they also gave a lot of end time. And they were correct. Let's be clear.
Right.
Not to say, and I said that to say they were correct, you know, on a lot of things. You know, they were correct. So.
Right. So I know in one of the previous episodes, so we went back and we broke it down by decades. Now, I mean, just from if we're going to do that, I mean, because I just had certain like best groups and influential groups, not necessarily split by decade. But if we start there, then I mean, I got to start with N.W.A. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Are you doing hip hop?
So, well, I have hip hop and R&B,
okay,
but I'm just saying if we're talking about the time frame of
where
the
we 80s, going with it. I got you. Yeah. Got you.
Okay, well, NWA and
NWA is a very good start.
I mean, we can start
very
there.
Good start.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you got Cube, Dr. Dre, Ren, and what they did as far as you know, as a group, but then just from an influential standpoint, you know, Eazy-E was the gangster businessman, right? Like, he was on his shit. Like, he pretty much laid the blueprint for the rapper/mogul, like rapper/exec.
Facts.
You see
facts.
What I'm saying? Like, Eazy-E set that tone.
True.
For everybody else.
True.
Right? And then, you know, Ice Cube was pretty much writing, you know, just his lyrical prowess for everything to the point to where his writing ability still got him relevant today, like, because he's writing movies.
He just dropped an album too,
right? And I saw he just dropped something new, you know. And then obviously Dr. Dre, who is the godfather of
many opinions, the GOAT when it comes to, you know, hip-hop,
you know,
production, you
so
know?
I mean, you can start there from a hip-hop standpoint and like, and you know, trace it back to, if we even want to say, they might possibly be the greatest hip hop group of all time.
Yeah, I mean, and then too, it's funny, I didn't even think about that when you brought up the whole executive/rapper.
Yes.
Yeah, Eazy was that guy,
Eazy,
you know,
because
you figure you had Russell Simmons. Russell Simmons never got on the track from what I can recall.
Right.
He never jumped on there. He was an exec. He never rapped. Rick Rubin, they never rapped.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But Eazy-E got on the mic, you know what I'm saying? You know,
but
so
he didn't write raps.
No, he didn't write.
He
but
had the voice.
Got on the mic.
He was a rapper though.
But
he had the voice.
Again,
he got paid to be so.
Yeah, but again, it's like you know,
did.
Barry Gordy didn't go get on and start singing. You know what I'm saying? So that right there, because you think afterwards you had Puff. you know, Master P, yeah. you know, guys that were really getting on and spitting. So that
baby,
right there is
baby,
baby.
Yeah. Well, you know yeah, I'd say Eazy-E is definitely the grandfather of the Master P's.
Absolutely.
Here's a big thing: business over talent. He was the biggest person of business over talent.
Yes,
which is so hard. What I preach, the book I'm trying to write right now, Business Over Talent. Mm-hmm. We are so talented. Who cares, right? Because you can't be the best 65-year-old rapper you know. Who's the best 65-year-old barber you know? Who's the best 65? You know, the talent's going to fade because somebody's going to want new and innovative. Mm-hmm. If you don't capitalize on what you know, which is what Eazy did, which is what Baby did, which is what Master P did, what Damon Jay did, these are Puff did.
Right.
That was all these people. None of these people could rap really good, minus Jay. None of the other people could really rap really good.
But
their name in the rap game is probably going to be on the top Google list all the damn time. Yeah, business was fucking solid.
Yep.
That's why I respect them.
Yeah.
And then two, I think, you know, when you think about the content of hip hop in the 80s, you know, it was more kind of a little playful, you know, partying and all that other stuff. NWA came in, all that shit got serious. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about what's really going on, you know, the yeah. You come out with fuck the police. Now, mind you, everybody probably had that sentiment because there's a long history of police brutality in this country. But to come out and verbally be like, man, fuck them. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's it took some balls to say some shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and not only that, but for those of us that can remember when there was maybe 30 videos total, like there was when they had videos, Music Box and all these, Rap City and all this kind of stuff, you would see NWA with slaves, whipping the slaves, breaking out of jail. This was a really big mental thing because that, see, when you put that kind of stuff in people's brain all day, it breaks chains. What the government or whoever, I ain't gonna say the government, what the bigger powers that be, that now start putting that, you know, dancing and all that, it's all in people's brain. But back then, when that was in your brain, look at the whole aura of colored people at that time because of what was impounded. Like, what? I ain't no damn slave. Like, what? You got to be kidding me. Like, you know what I mean? Like you just said, you had regular people saying fuck the police. East Coast, Public Enemy, everybody was on the same. Not only that, because that is a tenement 40 years ago how bad the police were to us. Let's be clear on how big the music is. 40 years ago, fuck the police. Police ain't shit. 911's a joke. 40 years ago, all of that. 2021, the same songs can be. Matter of fact, Public Enemy just made
the remix.
Yeah. That's how bad it is for us for 40 years as far as that goes. And those cats were so instrumental to letting us know that. That was my point. Like the point of how strong they were is they changed the whole mentality of people. That's the influence that I really respected.
And I think that might be their most important. The fact that, like you said, it changed the tone.
Yeah.
It changed the whole. It was getting serious. Like
you say, it went from party to that.
Yeah, that. You know what I'm saying? And on top of that, them dudes went platinum.
Oh, yeah. It
went platinum. Like, no radio play.
I didn't cross over. I bought the Surbubs to the hood.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't cross over for nothing.
Not only am I talking, like, real stuff, like, heavy content stuff, I'm still selling. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Which, you know, that over the course of, you know, does content sell or does, you know what I mean? They proved that, hey, listen, man, we can talk about real stuff. And we can make money, you know? So,
and Macaulay Culkin was wearing NWA hats to show you that we didn't cross over, but the Suburbs came to us.
Exactly.
The reason that NWA dismantled was because young white kids were getting too powerful of a message saying, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And the older white community was saying, cease and dismiss.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, your boy went to the White House.
That's what I was about to say, the White House.
Ooh.
Yeah. He's invited, not went up there on some Huey Newton. They say, you know, the stuff of stereotype is that's when he got the AIDS or whatever. Who knows? I don't know. Who cares?
Lord.
But I'm just saying, you know, theories.
Yeah, a lot of theories.
I've definitely heard that. Right after that is when it happened. So, you know, and they were literally, we see it so 40 years ago, it's so hard to think, but this is still kind of a Hoover time for having the mentality of strong black people.
Yeah.
Everybody was strong, even down to the fun people, the Jungle Brothers. They were fun, still serious about, serious about my black, even though I want to have fun, even though I'm going to, you know, smoke a little weed and, you know, having fuck some girls. I'm serious about my black.
And they were safe, but they were more along the like.
But I'm serious about my black. And that they had an influence from
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely.
They may not want to shoot nobody. Everybody ain't built to do that. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But if you come and disrespect us, we're going to stand on it.
And I think that was the thing, like, with NWA and Eazy and them. Like, we knew Easy was a real gangster. It wasn't no.
Yeah,
it this wasn't. No, this wasn't like.
It wasn't for, you know, a play, to make it you know.
From what we knew at that era, we didn't know that none of them wasn't. Dre got the history to prove it. Right. Cube had the history. Right. To prove it. Ren had the history to prove it. I mean, Yellow was the only one we may not have known, but everybody else.
Right.
Definitely, you know, and just for that, I want to say them boys made history.
They definitely
made history. We want to give them boys their flowers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
As far as influence goes,
absolutely.
Based on what they did for 20 years and how people had to cease, nobody wanted to stop partying.
Right.
They did want you to stop being conscious.
You know what I'm
saying? It's clear. Yep. It's clear they wanted you to stop being conscious. They wanted you to stop being militant. They wanted you to stop being slave. They did not care if you kept partying as far as making money.
And right.
That was clear.
Right.
Very clear.
Yeah. Then they came, you know, fuck the police, straight out of Compton. But then express yourself. Like, express yourself. Mm-hmm. They told us years ago to express yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, man. So pretty let's keep dope. It because, yeah, man.
What you got?
Yeah. There? Well, you know, I was staying in that particular time frame. I'm going to back up a little bit before NWA, but I think these guys right here, I mean, Run DMC.
Mm,
you know, like, you can argue that none of this hip hop shit would be where it's at.
Right.
Without Run DMC.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm not mistaken, the first hip hop act group, anybody to go platinum, you know, spearheaded Def Jam, which to this very day is still kind of like the label in hip hop.
I got a little.
Of course you do.
A little something I want to throw into your
pocket. Go ahead.
Right? The same kind of. Biggie's a great rapper.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Personally, I don't think Biggie would ever got the shine that he got. Without Puff. I don't know if he would ever made the songs he would have made. I don't know if he ever would have went the way that he made when. Run DMC owes their entire career
to Russ.
To Russell.
Yeah.
I mean, and they
Rick
have
Rubin,
been.
And Rick Rubin.
Oh, yeah, excuse me, to the machine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah
correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To the machine behind them. They are great rappers. They were influenced because they were young at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they could have been rapping that same way and not have got anywhere. Russ and them could have put anybody, and they did. They proved it. They did it with a group of white boys, of Beastie Boys. They did it with LL Cool J at the time. They did it with Girl. They did it with a lot of people. But Pioneers, 1,000,000%.
Yeah,
this is not an argument. Not 1,000,000.
Yeah, I'm
influential
not
for trillions of years to come. I have a harder time.
Bro, they were influential, bro. They had everybody wearing. People rocking shell-toe Adidas to this day.
They made
because
Adidas.
Of them.
They made Adidas. Like, Adidas need to cut them a lifetime
corrected,
check.
I'm wrong.
Like,
that also is due to Russ, if you look to the background.
No.
Russ told you wear that.
But they were the machine behind Adidas. Just like Michael Jordan is to Nike, they are to Adidas. There is no Adidas. The way it is without Run DMC.
Here's my heart. When I say stuff like that, I try to be fair to people like MC Hammer. Like, somebody made Hammer what it was. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And he did what he did. Yet we still criticize Hammer to this day for whatever it was that he did.
I don't criticize him.
As a whole. Maybe you and I won't, but let's say as a whole, you know what they do.
He was ahead of his time because at the time, going multi-platinum, having sponsored, you know, all that was, you selling out, da-da-da-da.
But what did he sell out to do? He brung everybody he knew with him and paid them.
That's
everybody.
That's the thing. He was somebody that was ahead. What he was doing wasn't appreciated.
Right.
At that time.
Yeah. No, but by the entire community.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So my point, I agree with that. And I'm only saying that to say I try to stay in his defense when I hear about Run DMC, when I hear about Biggie, because not only these cats are talented, because Hammer was clearly talented.
Right.
But it felt like a machine made them
That's what everybody. Everybody has a machine behind them. Everybody that blew has a machine behind them. Like, that's everybody.
And
at some point, you know what I'm saying? They have somebody, some executive or some machine behind them that's, you know.
It's a collaboration of things. You know what I'm saying? I just think that. Now, mind you, there was other guys out during that time. You had Curtis Blows. You had,
My point was, if you ask your dad, they will say Curtis Blow first. Then they'll say Run because of the stuff. You see what I'm saying?
When
we go to eras, that's what I was saying. Even with the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar thing, when you go to eras, when you actually
I've been tagging y'all all week about that shit too. Don't slander Kareem now. Don't slander.
I'm just saying depends on the era. See, because we're 15 years back, we get that glorified of it. You see what I'm saying? But when you live in it, you're like. In living in the Nas and Hov battle, it's totally different from somebody 15 years later who might just read up on the Nas and Hov battle.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So that's my, we didn't live in it, but when you talk about somebody who revels in it, they're going to say, Moses Malone was better. Such as Dr. J, all you see what I'm saying?
All right, Mr. Rebuttal.
I'm just throwing it out there, baby. Just throwing it out there for the argument, for the discussion.
All right. Yo, you know how it go real quick, though. We gotta take a quick pause. You know what I'm saying? A shout out our sponsor. Shout out to the Inner Elite Network. And shout out to all the rest of the sponsors that make this podcast, this great podcast we have, so official. We want to send y'all a shout out real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but, you know, like I said, can we agree that they were instrumental in the popularity?
No, we are agreeing 1,000,000%. My only hiccup was saying, like when you said NWA, I felt as an entire group, they made themselves what they was. Easy wasn't just the entire, Dre had his own shit, Cube was his own man, Ren was his own man. Yeah. They were their own people, they all were what they were.
Right.
Run DMC. Run was a DJ. DMC was a DJ originally. He was a DJ for somebody.
Okay, you're right.
DMC was still in college. He put these people together the same way he put a lot of people together and made that really what it was. He gave it a feeling. Right. For me, NWA, there was the Keller didn't make. See what I'm saying? Now, if Jerry Keller would have made them dress like that, whatever his name was, if he would have made them dress like that or said, this is what I want y'all to do, then I'd be as silent as I am about that.
I see what you're saying. But at the end of the day, they still were one of the most influential rap groups.
Well, here's what I'm saying. There's a lot of influential people that we can go through that made themselves. You see what I'm saying? Nobody puppetized them. And we'll get to that. We're going to get to them people.
Right.
But I'm just saying there's no... Okay, I made them this.
Right.
Because we're 10 years later on them, we only revel in the greatness of them, which I respect, and I am saluting them. I'm saying if you was the time capsule yourself and say, hey, let me move backwards. Oh, no, somebody, this looks like MC Hammer or what? In my modern-day 90s mind.
Right. All right, so we said so far we got NWA, Run DMC. Since we're still in that era, I don't know, you know, I don't know. We're gonna swing it over the charms.
Hold on. Let me do that real quick because I got something that kind of coincides the both in that era. The hip-hop and R&B most influential, underrated, underslept on because just of what it was, Heavy D and the fucking Boys.
Yeah.
These cats, because nobody really will never know because it was such a smooth feel of music, but they really ran everything that was hardcore.
Right. No,
if it was not hardcore, the opening of the biggest black show in Living Color, Heavy D. The biggest views on the Arsenio Hall show, Heavy D. Heavy D was absolutely the fuck. Here's the lineage of LL Cool J. The lineage of every smooth rapper you've ever known a man comes from Heavy fucking D.
So are we
and he had dancers.
Technically, it is a group because it's Heavy D and the Boys, but he's still.
No, here's why I say the group.
More of a solo.
No, here's why I call it the group because they embodied what hip hop was. There was dancing in there.
There was
DJs that were scratching. There was graffiti on their clothes. Yeah, there was rapping and there was melody. That is everything hip hop is supposed to be.
Right.
Hip hop turned into a hardcore because we needed to not always be happy because of what we were going through.
Right.
But what Heavy D provided was, and he was Black Power to the fullest as
Heavy
well.
Heavy D, man, it's
Black
it's
Coffee, no sugar,
man.
No cream.
Yeah, man.
Them boys,
self-destruction.
Yeah,
self-destruct. That's my point. So from going from the Heavy D and the Boys, this just the TV show to self-destruction to the Mr. Big Stuff. To
he was ahead of his time,
overweight level in the house
to
movies to the one of the first purple doing movies and TV shows.
Man,
talking about somebody who laid a pathway for LL and Ice-T and all these cats that walked through and was considered being the women loved him.
Yeah.
I mean, the women loved
a bigger guy. The women loved.
And then you talking about Biggie Smalls.
That's what I was about to say.
Big Pun. All of
Nigga Creole.
They made me feel I can be comfortable because this dude was big, dressing dope, dancing. I mean, talking about dancing, he made you want to dance.
And he danced.
Listen, this was a time when people did not want to dance. You would get out there and sweat. Like, at that time, there was no pride. Like, hold on, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, hold on. Okay, well. I'm about to get out there on the floor. Hurry up, the song about to be over. Run out there because the song about to be over.
Right.
The pride wasn't there. You said, I'm saying, the song about to be over. I got to get my dance in.
You
feel me? Heavy.
Yo, good one.
Heavy for influence for a whole nother lineage of group of people from the LLs to the Drakes. To the Biggies, to the Puns, to the everybody that needed
that. That real talk. No, and like you say, in that bridge between hip hop and R&B.
And he made it from the 80s to the 90s, to the late 90s.
Gone way too soon.
Until he died.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? God bless his soul. Another legend
man.
Won't give their flowers. This was about giving flowers
to
people that made history.
Absolutely.
These cats all made history for sure. And still have.
I was going to say, and we, you know, swing it, you know, Because, you know, Charm is more, you know, on the R&B side, yeah, you know, Charm. So we're going to swing, and I'm gonna throw this one out there.
I already know who I'm going first. We're going from 80s to now.
Go ahead. I'm
going to see. Era and influential mean you got to be lasting a long time.
I'm going new.
That's exactly
here we go.
There we go. That's exactly what I was about to say.
Yeah, here we go. There we go.
That's where I was going with it.
Yes.
That's where I was going with it.
And I feel like we all know why New Edition, because you got from New Edition, you had
their lineage.
You had Bobby Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You got Johnny Gill.
Mm-hmm.
You got Bill Biv DeVoe.
Yes.
Ronnie, Bobby.
Ricky. Oh, Ricky, yeah.
But I mean, you know, you got all them. Ralph Tresvant, all them boys, man. Like they were. They changed the game.
They did.
Telephone Man like I say, all the way to now.
Yeah.
Without question.
I mean,
and they still touring now.
They still dropping albums. They dropped the album last year?
New Edition or BBD go on tour, like do a show right now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Cats gonna be up in there. Right.
Cootie rolling.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
You know, Royce said, you know, owning your masters mean nothing if your work doesn't age well.
Right.
Absolutely.
What makes somebody a legend is if your work can age well.
Yeah.
You know how many people have put out music 30 years ago that cannot get a booking?
Yeah.
Your work did not age well.
Absolutely. Yep.
So owning everything, if you do not make classic, really good shit, which them boys really, whoever their writer were, whoever their dancers were, whoever their choreographer.
Right.
The thing about being legendary and wanting to make history is wanting to be the fucking best.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, and when you want to be the best, you always seem worse. Like Jordan's father seemed bad, but guess what Jordan became?
Right.
Kobe's father seemed terrible. Guess what Kobe became?
Right.
It's so bad to think that when you want to tell somebody, man, be the best, and if you fail from being the best, it's okay. I can respect that. But if you never try to be the best, you'll never know what the fuck you ever could have been.
Right.
And the majority of the people that we are considered been the best, there has been somebody on top of their damn shoulder saying, work fucking harder.
Right.
You know what I mean? Go there.
Right.
Go get that shit. And man, you know, these cats embodied, whoever was around these cats embodied that right there.
And the thing is, like, okay, look at, they spawned, look, New Edition alone spawned some of the best groups of all time. From New Edition came BBD.
BBD.
You throw on Poison right now, I'm in my bag.
Still dumping. And the thing is, it's not just black people.
No.
You put Poison on anywhere.
Sir, Poison is on a bread commercial.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's, you know, it's in regular commercial, you know, mainstream commercial, the sting.
Poison.
You know,
Poison is timeless, and it don't matter what demographic we're talking about. You put on Poison, everybody's hitting the dance.
It's like, oh,
Poison. Old, black, white, brown, yellow, purple, it don't matter. Timeless, man.
So, and then look, what other group of all time came from that lineage?
Boys to Men.
ABC. You know what I'm saying? You know,
but Boys to Men.
Boys to Men is
Boys to Men is one of the best groups of all time.
If you Google right now, best R&B group of all time,
it's probably got
Boys to Men pops up.
There you go.
Yeah.
Sold over 60 million.
They're selling.
You see what I'm saying? And that came straight from the New Edition lineage.
And then too, what was so unique about them is that all of them went solo, broke off, and was successful.
And was successful.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Like that. That
legendary.
That's
I mean, and this is probably a group we're going to talk about later. But they were like Wu-Tang Clan before Wu-Tang Clan, because they were able to
branch off,
and everybody was dope.
And it's so crazy.
Everybody was doing it.
When you think about the Machine, you like the Machine can't supply that many motherfuckers. You know, Golden State had a bunch of motherfuckers, but they still, the Machine had only enough for two. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And Machine was, if you felt like there was Machine behind it, you have to give them boys talent to that credit and influence and legendariness and giving them the file, because if you split off and everybody can be an icon, everybody can be an icon.
Yeah.
There's very rare that Bulls don't have five icons.
Right.
You got Scotty, you might mention Mike. I mean, excuse me. You might mention Scotty.
Right.
But then after that, you know, you start throwing, oh, yeah, Robin.
Right.
But don't walk away five icons anywhere.
Right.
I mean, you know, to your point, Wu-Tang has, it's a very short list. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But I mean, it's a short list when I say that. In sports history, in pop culture history, in any kind of history, where five people came from the same team and walked off and said, damn.
Yeah. Boy, right.
Hold on. It's six of them. Sorry, I keep saying six, five.
Yeah.
Ralph, didn't run as long, but I mean.
Right.
And it was crazy. He was like the lead singer.
You can
argue he was the least successful on a solo, which tells you how strong the group was.
Right,
where
right.
normally the lead singer is the most successful if everything goes solo.
Right.
He had the lead, you know,
You know, say at least compared to everybody else.
Yeah, I mean now
Let's run. His run didn't.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. But everybody else
successful. We just said
run. So that lets you know that everybody else was strong, not just one person. You know what I mean?
I only remember one of his songs, and that was
he had sensitivity. Yeah,
no, then he had the joint on House Party 2 soundtrack.
I don't remember that.
Right. Only reason I remember because it's 7 o'clock. But usually I just he's right on top of my head.
That's the only song.
I'm a big Ralph fan.
Shout out to Ralph. Ralph is definitely don't hit it off.
You say somebody like Bobby Brown, it's like we can run him off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can Johnny run them Gill, off. Bro. Right. You can run them off.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know.
I'm going to do one more.
Yeah.
Go ahead, brother.
Just one more. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Drew Hill.
Mm.
If you put on Drew Hill, tell me right now, everybody in here going to be jumping to the sky.
Were they influential?
Yes, absolutely. They're still relevant to today.
What's the lineage under them?
That's a good point.
He got you.
I'm not saying they aren't. See, because we know where lineage come from there.
That's a good point. Because they wasn't the same thing
I was saying about the Run DMCs. The 80s and 90s, it was just put together.
Right.
There was a lot of talent, like the writers and producers, the baby faces of the world, the Jimmy Jazz of the world. These guys were where the credit goes to.
Right.
When you can put four people that can sing, you know, now we got to separate. Was this organic?
Right.
Did this really see? We knew Boys the Man and everything you said right there was organic. Right. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
When you watch the behind the scenes. This guy came from here. That guy was over here.
Right.
This was over here. The organicness of it, it doesn't seem to where, like, again, it's just, this not to discredit them.
Right. Yeah.
This not to discredit them. I'm just saying the influence wasn't them. It was the people that made them.
And so I would say that's definitely, I didn't have them on the list, but that's definitely a great group. But I would say they were influenced by another group that I was going that had on the list, Jodeci. I feel like Drew Hill was influenced by Jodeci.
Correct. Correct. Right. So there you can find a lineage. You see
exactly.
What I'm saying?
Exactly.
So, you can go from there. You know, yeah. And we know where Jodeci come from. They come from a mixture of R&B and hip-hop, father MCs, Puff Daddies, and Heavy D's. Mm-hmm. These, all of that was under one umbrella under there.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So I definitely agree with Jodeci. And they still have a long run. Just their... They couldn't go as far as physically, you know what I'm saying? Like, because of whatever, you know, life goes on.
Right.
But musically wise.
Right.
And the dope thing about Jodeci was that the appearance of Jodeci, you know what I'm saying? It was kind of like when you look at, like, when you think about just the appearance of a basketball player, Allen Iverson, you know, everything changed after Allen Iverson.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Jodeci, because you got to think, prior to Jodeci, from an appearance standpoint, everybody was, you know, same outfits or, you know, coordinated. Jodeci was out there with bandanas. They had on Tim's.
But they made everybody else do it.
No
all the small group, all the Harold Miners of the 90s were doing that. They all leather jerseys. You know, if you go back to the
youngsters. I think it was because
youngsters. Exactly, the youngsters and all the other, which, again, credited that to Puff's design, but we do know Jodeci was all from North Carolina, like they were
shout
all
out.
Together, you know? There you go. Yeah, so they were all together. These are the points I'm making versus not. You see what I'm saying? We know them boys all sung in the church together. You see what I'm saying? Like, we know that this was a bond here. This is what makes the influence so much tighter as opposed to four people that can be replaced.
Right.
Jodeci has never, even though they broke up, they've never been replaced. A new Jodeci member.
Right.
There's been new Black
Street. They were family.
There have been new Black Street members. There's been new Drew Hill members.
Yeah. Right.
You know, there's never been a new...
True.
I got you. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
That's what I mean by that.
Yeah, and I think, too, they incorporated, they were a perfect blend of the hip-hop feel and look, still be able to sing sing the draws off your lady.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, babe, I'm about to give it to you. Let me take my Timbs off real quick. You know what I'm saying? Like, they was, you know what I'm saying? Like, Jodeci was it, dog.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Jodeci was it. To this day, you can play Come and Talk to Me.
Yes, Forever My Lady.
You know,
yes.
Forever My Lady. Like, these are timeless pieces of music. Whew.
Crazy. Yeah, man. Like, and so, you know, we and that was around that 90s era.
80s leading to 90s.
Yeah. I mean, because really, you can look at, like we was talking about, we can look at all of the R&B groups to this day, and they are coming from the lineage of Boyz II Men and Jodeci.
Yeah. Right.
Well, here, I'm going to throw one more out there that was on the same cusp of the Heavy D of that time frame, who were just, they have, you can see all of the influence from them, hip-hop and R&B, Tony. These cats right there, you didn't really know where they were from at that time.
Mm.
They made feel-good music that lasted forever. I mean, Anniversary is a song that everybody from the 80s to 2020, a kid that's 21 years old right now, if he Googles Anniversary, that might be the first song that he plays because it's a feel-good song.
Mm.
It Never Rains in Southern California. These are also sprawls of Tony, of Tribe Called Quest and Jungle Brothers and these cats that, oh man, it feels good to be myself. See, because everybody, because I wear black. I am black. Mm-hmm. I'm not Ice Cube black.
Right.
I'm black. You see what I'm saying? So when you have to have that part of the person, that's what they offer, because everybody couldn't be Ice Cubes and Jay-Z's, and somebody had to say, damn it, I'm just black because I am fucking black,
right,
and I'm going to stand for that, but I also love love. I also love this. I also love that. You know what I'm saying? And he spiraled Brian McKnight's and these all kind of smoother touches, comments. Right. All these people kind of have a lineage of what Tony Tone put out in the 80s and transferred into the 90s and then broke out to Raphael Sadiq's and made other, you know, make still, other hits and Ryan Leslie's and all these other cats that they worked with. And Raphael Sadiq's influence on smooth, dope R&B is in 2020.
Right.
We're not stopping at 80s. You might not know his name, but for sure, Raphael Sadiq is all the way into everything that's going on right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yo, so, you know, just a quick break. You know, we got a shout out to the sponsors, man. We appreciate y'all for allowing us to be able to come and do what we do. Make history. You feel me? So shout out to all the sponsors, man. Thanks for showing us so much love. You know what? As we've been sitting here talking, there was a group that I didn't even put down that I feel like we have to bring up, you know, as far as on the female side. Yo, TLC.
Yo, you read my mind. I promise TLC. You, I was going to throw them out there. I wanted to gauge you guys' thoughts on TLC. So go ahead.
I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, because, you know, I think about it. I mean, there's a lot of female groups. To me, groups is groups, regardless of gender.
Right.
But with TLC, I think that you had the rapping element of it. All of them was fine as hell.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And they were dancing. They had the look. I mean, so, and then they had some of the biggest hits in the history of music. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I definitely think now, you might say, what's their lineage afterwards? So I was trying to think about, okay, who can I say after?
Well, they sprawled 3LWs. They sprawled
There's a lot of everybody
in a three-part group. I'm definitely with them.
Okay.
I'm definitely on the vibe of them for sure.
Okay.
One of mine's for me was En Vogue.
En Vogue
was because so what happened,
they were fine.
What I loved about En Vogue was they were 80s, 90s group, but they were the soul of 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So what we didn't know about the 70s, they spilled over.
Right.
Like what we didn't know, the video, the giving, you know, son, you know what I'm saying? It spilled over to stuff we did. Like that was that's like staying up in the 80s. That was staying up late at the night. Like,
listen,
hey, you can leave now.
That was,
you know what I'm
saying? As a teenage boy, saw that video.
Right,
that might have been your first thing, like arousal.
See,
like,
exactly. And so, for people of that age, it brought them to, my 16-year-old. You see what I'm saying? So it was a perfect spill from there to the 80s to the 90s, where they were the influence of Mr. Cooper's and television shows and what the Wayans Brothers shows.
Yeah.
And they were a big influence until 2000, music changed.
Yeah.
So groups and stuff like that kind of changed as music evolved. Nothing wrong with it, but it changed. And, you know, even with Salt and Pepper, they were influenced for rap. Like, En Vogue was also influenced for
R&B,
hip hop as well, because it was it's hard to be a female rapper. You don't know whether to be sexy or hard.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So when you can get unity and somebody feels what you feel and you can sing and rap, because men got criticized for singing and rapping at one point, you know, so.
Oddly enough, it's crazy,
exactly, right? So, you know, now as a female, it was acceptable to do it. They would bring tough guys in. I don't have to be tough. I'll bring Tupac in my show.
Right.
I'll bring Tretch in my video. You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to be tough.
Right.
I can break them to be tough.
Right.
It allowed that to go on. And in Vogue, they was sprawl for the four group, the four woman group, the singing, and
they just performed. It was for New Year's Eve.
Yeah, for New Year's.
You know what I'm saying? So that shows you right there. Like
when you're a legend, somebody's still looking for you.
Right.
Yeah. There's a million groups that came out when they came out.
Right.
Nothing to discredit none of them.
Right.
But they won't be looked at the big show.
I was going to bring them up when we talk about another topic about them, but it was kind of like it was here, then it was gone because they had, you know, members were leaving and things like that. You lost like the core person, you know what I mean?
It happens. You know what I'm saying?
It happens.
But before we go all the way to the 90s and 2000, I just want to throw one people out that was super independent of the independent era of the East Coast, EPMD. Responsible for Redman, responsible for Keith Murray, responsible for all the people that came up under them.
Who came after
these cats, and they didn't need nobody to work with. They ran their own business, made 12 albums, all independent, still getting money till this day, still dropping albums.
Facts.
Must get their flowers, because independent does not always mean you're going to get a lot of views, likes, hair. But if you lived in that era, you knew what their influence was, Daz Effects, everything that came out that was jumping was under EPMD lineage that you wanted to party to. You had to party through
Eric
them.
Eric Paris making dollars. Sure. Shout out.
But now we can move on to the 90s, more 2000s, because we've been really old school right here.
Anybody? All right, before let me let y'all go first, because I had a group, and I think it kind of slipped my memory. But
so I'll start with 90s rap group, influential. I have a few. I'll go with some people that came out under the tutelage of the most influence that we've stamped most influence, Bone Thugs and Harmony. Here's why I'm going to give it to you, Bone Thugs and Harmony.
That
you
right
had a
there?
West Coast. You had an East Coast.
Yes.
You had down south booty music. You had everything else. Nobody knew what the fuck Cleveland, Ohio had to say.
Right.
Then once you heard it, we grew up in a critical judging era. You think motherfuckers judge now, nigga, if you, soon as you get up to, my name is, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was like, we come from the Apollo era, from the shut 'em off era. So we wasn't giving people, this is why old heads, I'm giving y'all game, are so critical now, because back then you had to be the greatest for me to even want. First of all, my $16 meant a lot.
Right.
Motherfucker, I don't give a fuck what you're doing. Right. You better be giving me your best for me to get this 16. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when Bone comes out, dressed up the way that people were looking in the 90s, which kind of meant poor for black people.
Right.
That meant you related to what I look like. You from another place. Now I need to at least hear what you're saying. Now you got melody. Now you got harmony.
They
and
brought that into
you're
the game.
Fucking rapping. Fantasy. And everybody loves you. They the old, probably one of the only people that rap with Biggie, with Tupac. And Big Pun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all the legends that died, they've all been on songs with these cats.
Yeah.
These cats are world. They probably sold the most. Crossroads probably had the most influence on anybody who's had a passing in their life.
Yeah. Right. That's the signature song.
I mean, you got First of the Month. Depends on what level of life you were in.
Right.
Depends on what they were. East 99999999. You should have said
that. Shit was hard. Now, I listened. Like, them first two albums was crazy.
And then, too, and you bring up the point, the harmony. So there is no Drakes. There are no, you know what I'm saying?
Futures. Young Thug.
Yeah.
All it, whether they admit it or not, it comes. It's a stem from here.
And I'm very glad you brought that up. I'm very glad you brought that up.
That's what. Which one was it? Was it Busy?
Mm-hmm. Busy.
That's what he was talking about when he was saying, like, he was talking to Quavo or something. Mm-hmm. He was like, nigga, like.
Yeah, but see, old heads.
Y'all come from us.
Us as old people, you talking about. Us as old people, we don't know how to verbalize. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You see, you got the Lenards that'll be like, you owe me my goddamn respect. Goddamn it, I know. See, but then it ain't always got to be said like that. Because had he just said, damn, salute y'all boys, pretty sure he probably would have returned the salute and said, damn, man, you know, we come from y'all.
Right.
But. Is there times where we don't feel respected and we want to take it and it comes off wrong to the world. See what I'm saying? Like, you know, in a small conversation, it could have been handled and could have been said, look at what I did. Look at what you're doing right now. You know what I'm saying? Just, I don't care whether you accept it or not. The radio put it in your brain for it to be, they stomped it in your head for you to say, this is acceptable. That, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was how that worked. You know what I'm saying?
So it's kind of like now we got to go to, I feel like, the obvious, the elephant in the room. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the Woo.
Tang.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, that's the, I mean, like, when you're talking about 90s and you're talking about groups, like, they possibly, like, say, one of the most influential. You put them up there with the NWA as far as, like, one of the possible, like, arguably one of the best groups ever. You know, I mean, they had fucking 9 people.
I was about to say, how many of them niggas was?
Like,
and 5 walked away platinum.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, it's hard to get 9 platinum, but 5 walked away platinum. Yeah. 7 walked away gold minimum.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
5 walked away platinum artists multiple times.
Right.
You know, and that's long, long. And then when people say, well, what's their lineage? Then you got the Lox. Then you've got Nas's. Then you've got, you know, to this day, Griselda. You know, you got, there's still to 2021 influence of Tony Stark's. Right now.
Right.
So the and, you know, Complex named him top 10 of all time. Complex.
Right.
That's big coming from them. You know what I'm saying? So,
And the thing about the Wu is that they transcended, like, if I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about some of the bigger top 40 type songs that featured Wu-Tang Clan members. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was listening to the Mariah Carey joint with ODB.
Oh, Mariah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
that
you know,
shit go hard.
ODB took over that song.
Yes, right.
You know what I'm saying? He, like, he took over that song.
Go back, like, babies and pacifiers.
He was on the joint. I don't know if y'all remember the the Ghetto Superstar song.
Yeah, Maya.
So that was, like, top 40 song. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
SWV, the the Wu-Tang, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
The one with Method Man with Mary J.
Meth alone. I'm about to say Meth alone. So,
what you call it? Shit, I just thought of, it slipped my mind.
The Who joint where he was playing Ghostface playing.
Jodeci.
Yeah, Ghost and Ray. Jodeci. I was about to say that. Yeah.
Pulling like a hamstring. Yeah. Right out of here, man. Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah. Man, you know makes more
international steps.
So you don't even have to talk about the. I mean, the rap part is the hip hop part is obvious. I mean, you know, like you said, I personally think that they might be the greatest group ever. That's debatable. We'll save that for another show.
Multi-layer was so good for them. I mean, yeah. Ghostface can make you cry and then kill you. You know what I'm saying? Like in the same album, as soon as one song was done, you cried. The next time you pulled up your gun, I'm gonna kill me, motherfucker. You know what I mean?
No, real talk. Like I was listening to, you know, as we, you know, we get ready for the shows, I go back and I just listen to everything. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to, Wu-Tang Forever. Yes,
Motherless Child. You know what I'm saying? Kind of songs.
That Impossible. His verse on Impossible, like you said. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like it's just like you like fuck. Nah, Jamie, don't start that shit. Like come on, bro.
Right. You just I mean the shit we playing with. On the piano, two at the foot, two at the head.
Oh, I didn't like that shit.
You see what I'm saying? Like that right there. I mean, the Motherless Child, you being seen in the block.
So I got a question for y'all then.
Right.
And this is because y'all are older and y'all, I came up under in that Wu-Tang era, but obviously it's because of bro. Like I'm 4.5 years younger than him. Mm-hmm. And this is probably gonna be one for you. But who is the greatest Wu-Tang member?
Okay. I have that actually as a topic for a whole nother show because that's literally a whole nother show.
I mean, I didn't, you know.
I mean, it doesn't go that far.
Cause it's nine of them niggas. I mean,
it goes between three or four. After three or four, it doesn't really.
So, because the topic would be like that I had that we're just putting it out there. So, it's going to be a future episode. Who has the best. Solo projects, you know what I'm saying? Out of the Wu-Tang.
We're
not going to talk about it now. We're not going to talk about it now because that's a whole nother show in itself.
Good question.
So, I'm glad you brought that up. Okay. That's foreshadowing.
So he can't answer the question right now.
That's a whole nother. That's going to take us a whole nother. That's kind of
tough, too. Like, I was going to say something. I was like, I don't know. Wait, let me think about it.
That's very tough.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking because.
That's tough.
Out of all of them, this is me personally. I didn't got to answer the question. Me personally, I like Method Man.
Yeah,
right.
He might get the most votes.
I don't know too much about. Know. Yeah. I know. Somebody says. Somebody say Ghost.
Somebody gonna say Ghost. Somebody gonna say Ray.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why somebody say Deck.
Yeah.
I don't know about
somebody say Meth. ODB on popularity. That Deck is his favorite
lyrics. Right. Yeah. I mean, lyrically, somebody might say Deck. Only lyrically would somebody say that. Not popularity wise.
Right.
Lyrically, somebody might say. And then popularity wise, somebody might say ODB.
But you know what? That speaks to the greatness of the group because there's no consensus answer. You know, it's like, I don't know.
We don't want that. I read something that said, you don't know who the boss is, that's the best team.
Right.
If everybody looks the same, the team looks good.
There you go.
And just even from a influential standpoint, like how RZA and they went about structuring everybody's deal. So they did a Wu-Tang deal. They get a group deal.
Talk to them.
Right? Was it Loud?
Yeah, Loud. Mm-hmm.
And then manufactured to where the solo artists
can get independent.
Had their own deals with different labels. Mm-hmm. So you had the group deal, you know what I'm saying, with Wu-Tang, but then Ray and Meth was with Def Jam, you know what I'm saying? ODB might have been with Elektra. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that shit especially at the time.
Right.
Nobody wasn't doing that. So they came in and was able to really, really set it up and get money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And set everybody up for success.
Clothing, apparel, merch, all that. Yeah. Video games.
Under that NWA tutelage, independence, you know, the independent label lane.
But it's like the Wu took it times 10. You know what I'm saying? Times 50. Because I've wore Wu-Tang shirts in different and everybody. Wu-Tang.
Yeah. Right.
It don't matter where you're at on the planet.
Right.
You
right.
got that Wu logo, everybody knows everybody. It don't matter where you are. And that's no lying whatsoever.
That might top them, edge them a little bit over NWA.
Yeah.
Because
if you walk to another country and put NWA or put the Wu-Tang symbol, not America,
they go that W.
But if you just went to another country, it's 9 out of 10, the W's thrown up.
Yeah.
Because the Wu got something everybody want to hear.
Wu-Tang.
Again and again.
One of their best credits was never shutting anyone out. Never saying the West Coast can't come rock with me. Never saying the Down South couldn't rock. They would disrespect bad rap no matter where it came from.
True.
Right. You could be on the East Coast and they'd say you whack on the East Coast.
Right.
Nigga, you from New York, you're whack. So their disrespect was universal.
Yeah.
They've called Biggie whack. They've called Snoop whack. They've called anybody in the South whack. So their disrespect never meant I don't like You, I don't like whack shit for the craft.
I'll give you that.
Because for the whole of the craft,
they were on,
I dissed anybody.
Tupac had a Wu member. Outkast with Raekwon. Mm-hmm. Like, who would have thought? Like, to me, when I heard Cast and Ray on the song, I was like,
that was crazy.
They liked talent.
Yes.
That's why Ray said, nigga, I'm getting on this. Them boys is spitting.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? There was no, you can't disrespect this
deliver
shit.
Deliver
no
this
more.
To you.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And it changed the game. So, like, oh, everybody was like, we could be friends. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was almost like, we could be friends.
No, real talk. No, real shit. Real talk.
That song was a song that made people say, we could be friends.
Speaking of, like, the New Yorker mentality at that time, you needed, as crazy as it sounds, you needed a cosign from an established MC to go rock with somebody from another region. Be like, okay, as childish as it sounds, but
and
that was
and we all watched it because Outkast was one of the NWA's, one of the groups that they were only played on there's only certain groups that were played on TV. So when you look at that, you're like, oh shit, well, playlisting, something kind of like, you know, so you've seen that, like, okay, I understand them. I watch it. Same thing with like watching Bun B early. You're like, okay, I get it. I kind of, you know, I understand it. Scarface a little bit, da da da. You know, you are what you are because based on what you're around. We don't have as much internet at the time. So once that TV goes off, you're back to only East Coast or only South or only West. So once the TV goes off, you're back to what you only know. So when you see these cats, it was a really big thing. Then when you seen somebody said, ho, he came all the way from New York and on stage with him. This wasn't he threw a verse.
Right.
They loved him. They rocked. They mean that the respect, the mutual respect was there. There was no, you better than me or I'm doing this for the money. It wasn't even that much. I'm sure it wasn't that much money involved. You see what I'm saying? Right. Like it was, oh, okay, let me get into the South world and let the South know that the New York don't just hate this and I can spit. So anybody that likes spitting gonna love this. And then same thing up there, that was a real pivotal turn. Not to say Outkast wasn't already humongous, but it was a very pivotal turn for New York DJs to start playing them, for them being on mixtapes, for them to get other features on other things, for them to get into movies and other places that they were getting into.
Right.
It was a really big turn for them.
So we gonna, you know, shout out to the Inner Elite Network for sponsoring and making this happen. Shout out to all the other sponsors. You know, very, very grateful for that. So Fresh. So with from that, you know what I'm saying, that actually takes me to the next group, which was Cast, man. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, Outkast, man. Y'all gotta understand. Like, for y'all people that don't understand right now that's listening, you know, the youngsters, like L likes to call them, you know. Like, Cast was on a whole different plane. And like the Cast, like how we know and revere and respect them now, like you say, at that time, yo, They had to earn that respect because New York wasn't trying to New York wasn't trying to show them that respect to where it was like, the South got something to say. The South got something to say.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're talking about, for me, the first three albums. When Stankonia was cool, but like I just remember like in listening to Stankonia, it was kind of like, okay, this is a different, they going to a different sound. And but like them the first three thing. Albums.
Yeah. But real quick, off stage, their biggest song. Came
from Stankonia. That's what I'm saying.
No,
it actually, did.
You can argue that and Speaker Box Love Below because you got
right. Well, Hey Ya.
Hey Ya. And the way we move.
You saying big as far as popularity because, man, you talking about urban legendary. Them boys were already having some really major, major songs.
I was going to say between Miss Jackson.
Miss Jackson is like out of there.
Yeah,
but
Jackson,
I mean, Southern Playlistic is way before that.
I'm talking like top 40 type shit. Yeah, Miss Jackson. The Way You Move and Hey Ya, those are top 40 classics.
Right.
Like, they're timeless. They're timeless.
Right. We know the background of them now, but we knew that L.A. Reid didn't believe early. The monster wasn't pumped behind them.
Right.
So a lot of that shit was, this is what makes them legend. It was organic. It was them two boys.
Organic.
They were great. They were talented. They didn't put on, they were wearing Atlanta Brave jerseys and Cadillacs in the hood, rolling dice in their videos. You see what I'm saying? This was the organicness of it because they didn't have no monster. There was no monster to push it there. They made it there organically off a little bit. They had a little bit of L.A. on them, a little bit of L.A. Reid on them to get them right there in the door, but the talent had to keep them there and get them another deal the next time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And them boys, when they got to the I'm Here, they ain't no denying me stage because they have produced Goody Mobs, because they have produced Organized Noise, because they have produced Sleepy, what's your boy name?
Sleepy Brown.
You know, so now they got a whole... They don't need nobody. Let's be clear.
Right.
I don't need shit. You feel me? Now I'm at that. Now you need me. Now I'm getting ready to pump you.
And that was the thing, like why I do respect those the later projects because they kind of got away from Organized Noise during the production. And like on that Stankonia album, they started doing the more the production.
Yeah, yeah.
So which means more money in their pocket. You know what I'm saying? And then in a side note, because I know you like to always talk about how Puff had his influence. Puff directed that video.
Yeah.
Puff directed the, you know what I'm saying, that first video. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So he styled them and made them, you know what I'm saying? So
I didn't know that. That was new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Puff did that video.
Yeah. Puff did that video.
Did not know that.
You see what I'm saying? So just like how you go back to saying, like, well,
with a lineage.
Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, man. But cast that from Southern Playalistic Music to AT Aliens. Tough. To Aquemini. I mean, you could argue those are three classics. Like, out the gate. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and I mean, musically sound. They birthed Kanye's. Yes. Like, this is the lineage of Kanye. Musically sound. Sonically, because you didn't have to have boom bap with Outkast and to like it. See, rap, you needed that rap. Like, hardcore rap lyricists, people like myself, needed boom bap to like it at some point.
Yeah.
They removed that from me having to like that. He gave me a whole nother cadence that I can like. Like, that shit's dope.
It was like a wonderful blend because you had, from a production standpoint, Organized Noise does not get enough respect.
They don't.
But the soul in the songs, the composing, the guitar, and then the singing and the harmonizing.
All of that.
And then you got rap, you know, it was just Outkast.
Then the spoken word element into it.
Like, it was just talking about from, you know, pimp stuff, whatever, to just,
Black Outkast, power, consciousness.
It was spiral. that was my point of what the NWA did for us. The black didn't always mean I'm going to shoot you.
Right.
See, that was what they said. But there was people that read like, bro, I can't kill everybody. But if my voice is the power, I'm getting ready to put my voice out there to let everybody else know this is the big influence. And all these cats with lighters was getting dimmed until they started making dance music. You know what I mean? Right. I'm not mad at getting money because you got to get free in some way. So they did it. Most of them did it independently, especially Outkast, because a big boy not hurting Dre.
Right.
You know, they all doing what they want to do.
Right.
Their life is where they want to be. They're free.
Dre walk around playing the violin in the airport.
That's free. Like, that's free.
Yeah.
Now, I don't got to be Richard Jay-Z, but I'm free. After 20 years of making music, I'm free.
I can do whatever.
These motherfuckers making music for 30, 40 years still ain't free yet.
Right.
So after all this time, I'm free. Yeah, I can do whatever. I have the free to grow my beard out and play the flute at an airport.
On some random, like,
and go home to a mansion.
Hey, that's goddamn stacks over there playing the flute.
Get ready to jump in the Bentley.
And then two, which from a top 40 pop culture perspective, they had an album of the year, a Grammy album of the year in hip hop.
Yeah.
That is significant, boys and girls.
Absolutely.
Boys and girls, that's significant. Okay. Legends, multiple classics.
Yeah.
Andre 3 Stacks, one of the best, and arguably he's in the GOAT conversation. Yeah. I mean, listen, man, Outkast. Kudos to Outkast.
Yeah,
absolutely. Gotta get the boys and flowers while they're here.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Like, they're still relevant right now.
Yeah. Now, real quick, I wanted to throw out another Atlanta group.
Mm-hmm.
The Migos.
Okay.
They gotta come later. Well, I guess they're not in the early 90s.
No, no, I'm just saying, I'm just putting it out there. Time frame, but I'm just saying the Migos.
Their influence is crazy.
Yeah, they are very, 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 very important.
Here's my thing, though, right? I'm going to say this, right? Hold on.
Go ahead.
Right? Because, see, I'm a aficionado. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, and I'll say that because not that I listen to more music than anybody, but there was a time where I was in the club kind of more than anybody at this particular table.
Right.
So not only that club, I also had a party bus where there's music being played
zillions of times. I want to get your 2 cents.
There was a few groups before the Migos that absolutely embodied what the Migos did, but somehow or another, Migos backing was better, or money better, or business was better, because you had Travis Porter's. You had there was a bunch of three-man group around the era of the break of the 2000s, because that's what came from the South at that time. It was groups coming from the South pushing their way through at that time. You know, you had the Texas thing was big, and then after the Texas thing, everybody kind of grouped up to coming out. There were a few people that had really big the Surf Boy swag. These cats, these cats were prior to the Migos, and the Migos. Identically, I'm not saying they stole anything, but if you just look at it, the look, the hairstyles, it was all. Now it could just be because it was Atlanta, but.
But I will say, and this is crazy. This is crazy because L brought up the Migos, you know what I'm saying? And it's normally like, oh, well, you know, that wouldn't be normally you think that something ever bring up. And you're like, no.
Growth was it. Right, but old man L knows a little something about you young whippersnapper.
I hear what you're saying, but from the standpoint of flow.
Yes. Like, yes. There we go.
A lot of people, like that, when they came out with that flow, it influence everybody else.
Everybody started changing up that.
Who popped first, them or Future?
Do we know? Let me look that up real quick.
I mean, Future had Racks on Racks on Racks. That was his. That was his
Future pop first.
Yeah. But I mean, but as far as that, and I mean, even though their style of flow came from they didn't originate it.
No, they still came from like the
3-6 Mary, 3-6 Mafia, like that type of
exactly
that triplets. How they was actually flowing.
Another group needs to be mentioned, Grammy Award winning, movie making, 3-6 Mafia. We're talking about influence. Though be it had been a negative influence with drugs and bad drinks and stuff like that, it still was an influence
there
to,
would be
to
no
a culture.
Migos without 3-6
without
Mafia.
Them. Without, they are a culture, a huge culture. Also, revert back to, God, always throw them in there, Two Live Crew. Because they're the they're the spawn of anything of the South that granddaddy comes from allowing Uncle Luke to say, here goes the door open.
Honestly, you know what? To be real, 2 Live Crew is in that NWA Run DMC conversation.
Yeah.
Like GOAT influential groups. Because them dudes.
Yeah. They had Dion and
Listen.
Yeah, because they made the parental guidance stamp going.
Yeah, it came from that.
There you go, from 2 Live Crew, boys and girls.
Right. But I mean, most of us never.
You
seen...
thought that WAP was something,
right?
Shit.
In the 80s, because right now you can see pussy anywhere on the internet.
Yeah.
In the '80s, you couldn't see a motherfucker twerking their ass, or the '90s twerking.
Yeah. Right.
Listen, if you can Google or YouTube, because there's a few out there, ain't much. If you can YouTube Luke concert in the '90s. They are licking butt and everything on stage. Women will pull men on stage pre-COVID, ladies and gentlemen. Random motherfuckers on stage, and Luke had them doing whatever on stage. I never meant to one. I wasn't old enough.
Right.
But I'm just saying, watching the influence is what I'm saying.
Right. Luke, he was
everything
like,
that was coming to break the law, to break the rules, to show what the world knows to be sex. Sex sells because white people been selling sex from Playboys and all the other stuff.
He was like the black Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Without question. And again, the raunchy content
man
in hip hop, they're the godfathers of that shit.
Absolutely.
They're the godfathers
even
of that shit.
Gangster rappers were sensitized. You remember Heavy D and them had Coogee rapping on a whole song, don't curse that. You know, they were trying to say, let me make it. Luke said, nah, we in Miami.
You
had the 95 Boys, all the lineages.
Tootsie
Rolls, dances. Roll. Yeah. Not even groups came out of just names of things and how you're doing it still to this day.
Kevin D
coming. Kevin D coming. Kevin D coming. Cardi B right now.
Cardi
2021 rapper.
Megan. All
lineage.
That. All that
lineage.
All that
comes from Luke. Two Live Crew.
All of it is 2 Live.
That lineage all stems. You go all the way
back.
Boys
and girls, we're going to give you a research project. Google and study 2 Live Crew. Man.
Don't go too hard.
Don't go too hard. Because that's what I was about to say.
Don't
like,
go too hard. Them boys was wicked.
I mean, you talking about like what El was talking about, watching the In Vogue video and that getting you aroused. Yeah. God
They couldn't even show them. And that's what I'm saying. They were so hard.
Video jukebox.
They were so rare though. But my point, it was so rare because they was taking them down immediately. Right. This is the same thing about the NWA influencing young white kids at the time. Nobody cared if all black kids got into it. But when you start saying white people saying, hold on, they out here popping butt and this, that, and third, they want to be a gangster. Influence is too heavy. It's too strong, and only a few people have done that to where you, like you said, Wu-Tang is in Asia. You can find a 2-year-old Asian baby who knows what that means.
Right.
You know, when you're saying that to white people around the world and it's changing the demo, that's legendary, iconic. When people start naming stuff, you got to be doing that to get these kind of titles, like iconic, legendary. It's, you know, everybody can have a good day. You can have be a great, you know, Harold Miner was a great dunker.
Right.
As at time, I mean, Isaiah Ryder was a great dunker. He won't be iconic.
Right.
He won't be iconic. He will be a great dunker.
Right.
You know?
No shade, Isaiah Rodgers.
Not at all. I love you, brother.
I don't want y'all to come see us.
You made smoking weed cool, and I'm a cannabis connoisseur, my brother, you did it for us in the 90s. They Isaiah Gennai playing ball. Yeah, let him go. He's one of the first.
As far as groups, I think that they are underrated. I don't feel like they get as now we're talking, I'm moving up into the 2000s now. And I'm just going to throw this one out there because I feel like their content influenced a genre of music coming after them. And it's the Clips. The Clips,
absolutely,
with the whole cocaine rap type vibe.
I mean, that comes from something.
It does come. It comes from that lineage of it, that's what. But look at the people that it influenced after them. Now I would say
Griselda, maybe
they came from a bro like UGK. A lot of the shit. Ooh, like
at
so.
The, at the, oh, no, you no, said no, the Clips?
No. I'm saying when you saying who they respond.
I'm saying who I know where. For, I love Clips. Let's be clear.
Their lineage came from like
we know where their lineage.
Richard Collinum was talking about
who's after the Clips that we say traces back to the Clips, because I know what the Clips trace back to. The Clips, I don't know that they. They had like you had that time where you had like Philly Most Wanted and no kind of jingling them kind of rappers, but I don't know that they have a longevity.
Are you comparing Philly's Most Wanted to the Clips?
I am, absolutely.
Oh my god,
absolutely. Not because of Pusha.
Not because of Pusha T. I don't know.
I love Pusha. I'm going to put him against anybody. You are. Let's be clear. I'm saying the group format. I'm going for sure. I got to go. If we're going to go in that range, there's a whole lot of people I have before that, but I'm going for the Locks before.
I got
before
the Locks on there.
But I mean, that's you know, this is underground. But I'm saying there. I'm saying it's influential. I don't know that the Clips influenced anybody
that
I don't know
cocaine
that.
Rap which they were influenced, that comes from the shit. If we want to go back, like you say, they were influenced by the you know Ray and Ghost. That was that type of talk. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna give the Clips Isaiah Ryder.
Oh my god. Oh,
wow. The Clips, not Pusha. The Clips, I'm gonna give
Bro, like a lot of people were saying Malice was nicer than Push.
Nicer than Pusha.
Which I like Push better, like me Push personally, but well, like
in order for me to give you Iconic Legendary, you got to keep going. Push kept going, and he still keep going.
Malice, it's no, not I'm sorry, still no Malice right he's now. Still, no he's still going, but he went to another Pusha genre.
Hot. Even though it's still,
he went to another genre.
I've heard the rap, it's dip, but it's not Pusha hot.
Did he win a Grammy though? He might have won a Grammy for his album, like okay. So. You know what I'm saying? So we can't not, say, just because we're not listening to it.
I listen to it. I'm telling you right now, No Malice is still good. He's not better than Pusha right fucking now.
Oh, no, I don't like my preference is Pusha.
And
like,
even with the album goes, I'm Isaiah riding them. I don't know that as far as the group. I mean, not God. Album. As far as group, okay, they had album. Great. They had a great dunk contest. You know, they had a really good year,
bro.
But group wise,
I just listened to their three albums. I just listened to them over the past few days, bro. Lord willing,
so
Hell Hath No Fury.
Here's my thing: when we're giving these flowers, we're saying Iconic. I'm gonna put out Cash fucking Money. Who's
I'm about to say we smash
these motherfuckers. I don't even.
That's not a group though. Cash Money is a label.
The Hot Boys.
Let's go with that. You want to go that? That is Cash Money. But the Hot Boys. Absolutely smash
them. There's no reason.
That's like saying I don't need to play basketball with the Clips while I'm right here with the Hot Boys right now. They don't even go in the same group. They don't even go in the same fucking room. It ain't even close. That's why I can't put them at. I could put them at Isaiah Ryder. They had a fucking great.
Hey
dunk
man,
contest.
You gonna stop comparing the Clips to Isaiah Ryder?
Harold Minor. Harold Minor Award. Them niggas get next season. I'm gonna give out Harold Minor Awards and motherfucking Isaiah Ryder. You're going to get the Harold Minor Award. You was a great dunker.
You had
a great year.
That's a good idea.
But my friend, cannot put you in the same room as the Hot Boys, are legendary. I would never put you in a room as the fucking NWA.
And you're right. You know what? And that might be, they might be a group.
Hip-hop purists, maybe.
That would be, as far as the next episode, as far as like that never actually... You know what I'm saying? The best that never actually got over that hump.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
I can go for that.
You know what I'm saying? So I can't put them
in the room as...
No, you can't. Now, I'll give you that. You can't put them in the room with the NWAs and the Wu-Tangs.
Hot Boys is there. Like you want to pull away from me saying that.
Well, from the most influential, I can pull that. I can retract that statement. Okay. But from a best group, I guess I just had to throw that out there because that's just one of my favorites.
And that's cool. That's cool.
Along with the Locks.
I mean, too. And there's a part of people that, for me, almost just never got to the where they wanted to be, and they had chances to do so, and they just for whatever reason they didn't. You know what I mean?
So maybe you know those are two groups that we'll bring up in
for
the next
sure.
Episode,
they narrowed down my heart. I don't want nobody to feel like I don't fuck with them. I'm just saying if you said hey, go to the room with the legends,
they're not going to be in that room.
Hey, go Harold Minor. See what I'm saying? This is where you need to be. Here's where Jordan's playing. Here's where Harold's playing. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, Dominique's over here.
Don't take
Harold and Isaiah over here. You see what I'm saying? See the difference? You know,
just analogies.
Right. Okay, that's it. I love all them guys. I'm just telling you that we all know that one was clearly better than the other.
They're not in the same room.
Right.
It's not other people that we met.
It's not unfair to say. You know what I'm saying? It's not.
Right. I give you that. So look, fellas, man, it was a great show. Great debating this and talking about. Just the greatest influential groups, man, like hip-hop and R&B, man. Like, I think we, I mean, I'm sure there's some weed, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah. like, I think we really hit the
We didn't get
ones.
Past 2000 for the most part. But, again, we didn't get there. The group's delayed a little bit after 2000
right. yeah.
in my mind. You
and
know.
Anybody that's popping at that point would have come from the lineage of people we already talked about. Really. Right. So we kind of hit it on the head,
And we
man.
Need to do a really, we really need to do best R&B because there's some real big debates up there. And there's some people that don't want to be said that need to be said.
There's a lot of debates.
You know.
Right. Yes, they do.
So, yeah, we're going to wrap, man. That's episode 7 in the books, man. Let's make history, man. Y'all already know what it is. We'll see y'all next time.
Peace.